This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Cheryl?
Tig? We wind it down. We wind down our four-parter today.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. We wound it down. And
we wound it down.
I think we figured out who did it. Who done it.
We did.
You have to listen to all the way to the end. Do you remember that person that wrote in once and thought we talked really fast, only to find out they had their...
Oh, the thing sped up.
Yeah.
Like you can speed it up when you listen to it, right? They thought we talked really
Oh, hey, Cheryl, can you...
That is so funny. I forget that you can speed things up. That makes sense.
Do you listen to podcasts?
No.
Yeah.
Do you?
I've started listening to a few since remember how I said I've been taking a break? And I'm hoping it lasts for a long time, if not forever. But I haven't read any news still, and it's been like a couple of weeks. I only listen, if I remember, once or twice a day to NPR 5-minute news update.
Yeah. I've taken your advice because I'm detaching a little bit from a lot of stuff.
Oh, really?
And it's helpful.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Okay, shall we get on with the show?
Yeah, let's get on with it.
Ladies and jerks, welcome to Murder on Middle Beach Part 2.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story. Tig.
Cheryl.
How are you? Where are you?
I'm in Mexico City.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Exotic.
Yeah. Have you been here?
I have been. I haven't really spent time there other than just in the, what's it called? Airport.
Is the airport exotic?
Yes. When I hear Mexico City, I just imagine everybody running around in halter tops and like jean shorts, which is, I'm sure, what you're wearing. It is what you're wearing right now.
Yeah. It's actually what my mother used to wear. Do people from other countries think America sounds exotic?
They can't.
Yeah, they can't.
Do you think so?
I don't know. I just am curious. It's the same thought of like when people, you know, they live on Earth and they talk about outer space. We're also in outer space.
To somebody.
We're in outer space. We're like in the collective of outer space.
We're orbiting.
Yeah.
So when we talk about people from outer space, we should just say, so some of my friends.
In space. I don't know if what I'm saying makes sense, but you know, I'm just trying to make conversation with you.
Yeah.
But I filmed a movie out here. It was a musical, but luckily for everyone, I didn't sing.
Are you done?
I am finished, and I go to New Orleans tomorrow.
Wow, you like the hot climates.
Yes, that's how I choose my movies. I ask the temperature, and then I sign on, or I'm tapped.
You're tapped. You get tapped for things.
I was tapped for this musical. What are you doing?
Oh, I'm still locking down by myself to work on this project.
Uh-huh. And you're already shooting?
I had my first day. Mm-hmm.
And how did it go?
So fun. It's so fun because this project is full of twists and turns and secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a part of the secrets. So it's exciting.
Now, you know, we can't say your project yet because it's the biggest project in Hollywood. But I don't know if you remember that I know the lead actress a little bit.
Mm.
And you should drop my name.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay, I will. See if I get some free snacks on the set for that.
Drop my name. See what she says.
Ooh, you said she. You gave everybody a hint.
Yeah.
Okay, I will. Tig, should we? You ready to talk about our wrap this two-parter up?
I'm ready.
So everyone remembers, we are talking about Murder on Middle Beach. You know what the problem is? I always want to say Murder on Myrtle Beach.
Oh, Myrtle Beach. Well, last episode you said Murder on Murder Beach.
Yeah, now I only say Murder on Myrtle Beach, and no, that's not right.
Mm-mm, no.
It's not. It's Murder on Middle Beach, part two.
Mm-hmm.
So Murder on Middle Beach is a four-part documentary directed by Madison Hamburg. It follows Madison's quest to find answers in the unsolved 2010 murder of his mother, Barbara Hamburg, by interviewing family members and reviewing evidence. Murder on Middle Beach was released on HBO in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So just a recap for people. This guy, Madison Hamburg, his mother was sadly brutally murdered, Barbara Hamburg. And
it feels like it's fair to say every murder is brutal.
It is. The thing that in this documentary, there was a lot of, she was murdered in such a way that somebody, there must have been rage involved. It's like, is there ever a murder when rage isn't involved?
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess.
Accidental?
Well, that wouldn't be a murder.
The staircase?
Well, that was a murder.
He pushes her down a staircase?
Well, or an owl pushes someone down a staircase.
Oh, with the owl talons.
Yeah. But I just, whenever I hear brutally murdered, I'm like, it's brutal. They're murdered.
Yeah, it was bad. So he was, I could be wrong about this, but I'm going to say 19 when it happened. Do you have feelings about how old he was when it happened?
He seemed like a teenager. I think that's fair. If somebody said he was 19, I'd believe it. If somebody said he was 21, I'd believe it.
I'm going to say 19, then I'm going to say he was 21 when he started working on it.
Oh, okay.
So a few years went, 3 years went by, and he decided to make a documentary about this because he realized there was a lot he didn't know about his mom, and there was this unsolved murder of hers. So he started digging into it all, and so in one and two, we find out that the mom had been involved in this
dinner party.
It was like a pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
And she was getting ready to receive money from the bottom ranks.
Yeah.
And people were getting anxious about it, and some people are angry about
it. It's a lot of money. Stuff was on the line. Tension was high.
Yeah. She was going through a divorce.
Somebody could get murdered.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And so that's set up, and then we meet her sister, Conway. And at the end of episode two, she was like, I snapped. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
I do. And I remember you really falling for that moment.
I did. And then you were like, it can't be her. That can't be the end in episode two if she said I snapped. And what happens in three and four? But it was sort of crazy in three, I think it was. Conway, this woman, she's a bit of a character, no?
Oh, yeah. Million percent.
And you kind of never know which Conway you're going to get when you talk to her. Did you get that vibe?
I don't know. I felt like when she was in the interview spot, she seemed like regular old Conway. The Conway that we all know and love.
Well, remember, there's one phone call in here, though.
Well, that's when she was not in the interview
her
seat.
Regular.
Yeah, that's when...
she wasn't holding it together.
No, she
gave a glimpse into the real...
Yeah, the Conway. After hours Conway. After a few drinky poos.
So it seems like there was always, you didn't know like what level of. Mm-hmm.
Kind of like when I call you. You just don't know.
Never know.
You don't know what you're going to get.
I don't know what you've been up to, but I'll find out.
You don't know what I've been drinking?
After a few sentences. Sure, let's take.
It's just, hey. Guess what?
I'm so mad.
Goodbye.
Like, oh, Tig.
Tig's mad again.
Tig.
Who knows with her?
But Conway, she said, and this seems crazy, and I know that's a bad, you shouldn't call somebody crazy because that's a label, but.
I thought you said illegal.
No.
And I was going to correct you.
Now, you can call people crazy. But when she said she wanted to hire a hitman to kill her sister.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, Conway, Conway.
Conway.
Conway, that was.
I know this is illegal, but you're crazy.
I mean.
And not only does she say she wanted to hire a hitman, she went through the process.
She
it
was
wasn't
looking.
Like, yeah, it wasn't like she was just like, God.
Oh, right. She got some money.
Yeah. And met the guy. And then she, didn't she like black out or something?
Yeah, she blacked out. Yeah. Oh, she got rolled.
Yeah.
She got rolled. So she said, so at this point, I forgot how she got some money together, but she was so desperate.
She probably asked Dr. Becky Hines.
For a loan. Poor Dr. Becky Hines.
Can you imagine what a $2,000 hitman looks like and acts like?
Okay, can I tell you something?
Because that's what Dr. Becky Hines loans
that's
out.
That's what she could.
Okay. So if Conway got $2,000 from Dr.
Together.
Becky Hines and then hired someone, what does that guy?
What does he?
I'll do that for $2,000.
Where is he?
Yeah.
By the way, when I was, let's see how old, oh, I think it was 30, I was dating this guy and he cheated on me. We can call him out, Sneaky Pete. But
Sneaky Pete, was that his God-given name?
Yeah.
I should have known. Yeah.
Like if you date somebody named Sneaky Pete, it's not going to turn out well.
Right.
But I was so upset, and I worked with this guy who said, as he was walking me to my car, he said, I know somebody for $10,000 that could take him out.
Wait, I'm like, sorry, who said this?
Well, I can't name names. A guy that I worked with.
And he was being serious. Where did you work?
I don't want to say right now. It doesn't matter because I don't want this guy to get in trouble.
Is he still working there?
I have no idea.
I bet he's not. I would bet my life.
That's not the point of the story.
That job where you sang and danced in costumes?
No.
Was it
not at Studebaker? Oh, no, don't go through the list.
Okay.
Listen, it doesn't matter. But he said, and I said, oh, my God, that is crazy.
Uh-huh.
And I said, that's not true. And he's like, you know, we'll be on the down low. I said, okay, we don't need, listen.
Cheryl.
I just need to cry for a few days. I don't need to hire somebody to.
I would love to see a documentary about all these weird moments in your life where you were part of a pyramid scheme.
Mm-hmm.
When you dated someone named Sneaky Pete, and only to find out he cheated on you. And then the guy at whatever weird job you had. Which I'm sure was on the up and up if your coworker is following you out saying, hey, I know someone that could kill Sneaky Pete for $10,000.
And by the way, it was like, I would never do that. I don't know what you're talking about. And he said, okay, if you want me to, I could take his knee out for nothing. I was like, I don't.
So it seems like the guy that was offering to do it was going to do it for $10,000.
You know what? We didn't discuss it.
I bet it was.
I don't want to know.
I'm telling you right now.
I was like,
what was his name?
I I'll never say.
I bet you he's in jail right now. I have been through some weird things in my life.
Yeah.
And met some odd characters and, you know, traveled the world. Yeah,
the world.
I've had my heart broken. I've broken hearts.
Yeah, of course you have.
Never has anyone,
ever
talked about taking someone out. Maybe someone did about me behind my back.
Whoa.
Isn't that crazy to think?
It is weird to think about, isn't it? Like,
do you think somebody thought about that with me?
I don't know, Tig. Let's hope not. It's nice to have friends that don't have any money, that can't get money together to hire a hitman. By the way, at that point, I did not have enough money.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I am like, you're barking up the wrong tree. I like
Dr.
that was
Becky,
that's what was holding me back.
Dr. Becky Hines could have put $2,000 down and then made like a yearly payment.
Yeah, I don't even think I ever told Dr. Becky Hines about this. Because, you know, it's also, you have to ask yourself, why does he think that that might be something I'd be interested in?
Well, yeah, what were you doing that made him think you were such a lunatic? Probably dating a guy named Sneaky Pete.
I don't even know if this guy knows that I will forever refer to him as Sneaky Pete.
Oh, okay. He didn't introduce himself.
No.
I bet he's sneaking in and listening to this.
He is. He's listening. I know he's listening.
Hey, Pete. Let's give everyone a break.
Yes.
And come back and actually talk
and
about
really
the documentary.
Get back to the... Yeah. Okay.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we are back with
back.
Sneaky Pete.
But just let the record show, I never ordered any sort of...
It's just crazy to me, though, that you were part of a pyramid scheme and being offered to pay someone to kill your boyfriend. It's just like, get out of Florida already, Cheryl.
Well, that wasn't even in Florida.
Oh.
These two things were in California. Maybe I need to go back to Florida where it's normal. Okay, so back to murder on Middle Beach. Okay, so episode 3, we're really talking to Conway a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And Conway...
Did you feel like Conway did it?
I don't know. She's so unreliable.
What do you
think
mean?
She did it? Do you, I mean, if somebody admits to, like, hiring a hitman to kill their sister, and then their sister ends up murdered, it's not a good look.
There's so many things that aren't good looks in this documentary.
Yeah.
For many people.
Yes.
I kind of don't think Conway did it.
Well, it's interesting because Conway, at some point, the story is that Conway and Allie... Barbara's daughter, Conway's niece. Conway went to pick up Allie from high school, and they came back to the house, and that's when the two of them found Barbara's body in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
And when Madison, the filmmaker, is interviewing Conway, she tells us who she thinks did it. You want to hear a little clip?
Yes.
Okay.
Allie and I pulled up to your home, and Allie... is walking in front of me to the front door. And she goes, There's Mom's purse. There's Mom's keys. So I go to pick up her purse. She said, don't touch that, it's a crime scene. I'm like, you're out of your mind. What's wrong with you, child? So I picked up the purse, I picked up the keys. Why would you think this is a crime scene? There's not 1 ounce of blood. Her purse has everything in it. There's nothing that looks like a crime scene. I believe she already knew before she got there.
I have so many feelings about that. So Conway basically tells Madison that she thinks that Allie, the daughter, did it.
And what did I say the first episode?
You said, I think Allie, the daughter, did it.
And then what did you say?
I said, nuh-uh, that's ridiculous.
And then here we are.
Saying, oh, maybe Allie, the daughter, did it. But, okay, if you're going to see your mom and you pull up and her purse is on the yard and her keys are in the yard and a statue is knocked over and broken, it does look like something's happened. You know what I mean? Maybe it's better not to pick it up. No? You would be like, nah, Mom, with the keys and the purse on the yard again.
I am with Conway in that, like, I mean, truly, it's not like it was a gigantic statue. I think I wouldn't be like, this is a crime scene. I would be like, what is going on?
Right. Yeah, what is going on? But maybe don't pick it up yet. It's more important to find your mom, isn't it?
I guess, but I might look in the purse and see if her phone is there, or I wouldn't be thinking this is a crime scene.
Well, would you, if we were together and I said, oh, don't touch that, this is a crime scene, would you be like, great, way to go, murderer?
No, but I would be like, a crime, why is this a crime scene? You know, maybe she dropped the, hold on. Oh my gosh, I was at a restaurant the other night and I coughed.
And everybody looked at you.
Oh,
like
my
you were
gosh.
It a was a three-headed monster.
Oh,
like,
my gosh. I felt so bad and I was embarrassed and I was just like, I am so sorry, but I'm choking on my dinner.
God forbid you like take a sip of water and it goes down wrong and you start coughing on a plane. People are like, oh, great.
Yeah. Yeah. Look who's with us. But yeah, I think I would be like a crime scene. Well, how is this a crime scene? She might be on the other side of the house.
Okay, but would you automatically go, oh, well, you must be the murderer if you know this is a crime scene?
Well, no, that wasn't the end of what Conway was saying. She was saying that wasn't she, like, touching her mother's body that was full of blood and, like, getting the blood all over herself?
Well, yes, because she said, I know CPR. And she was trying to give her mother CPR till the ambulance came.
Don't you yell at me.
I'm so furious that you even brought this up because that doesn't make sense. Because why would Conway say, oh, yeah, and then she tried to wipe her mother's blood all over her? What? Why?
Well, because if there's any sort of DNA on her from before, then it's covered up in this moment where she's getting the blood all over her.
Oh, boy. I like how much you're really on Conway's side.
I'm not saying the daughter did it.
You are saying.
I am not. But also, here's another thing. What if it's more than one person and it's the dad and the daughter?
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Tig, that is so ridiculous.
Oh, you know what?
It is ridiculous.
I'm not saying that they went together, but maybe she knew about it.
Tig.
Okay. All right.
I feel like you're just stirring a pot. You were stirring a pot right now.
Okay.
That doesn't even exist. This pot doesn't even exist. You just, like, out of thin air decided this.
Okay. I'm sorry I contributed to this podcast. And, you know, you laughed at me and humiliated me in front of the whole world last week when I suggested it was his sister. And then, what do you know? Episode 3, we examine the sister.
It's his sister.
And, you know, it's interesting because this movie, you can look at it and go, God, what is this guy doing? He's talking about stirring a pot.
He is stirring a pot.
Here's the thing.
Tell it.
If somebody's guilty, I mean, he can go into this, which I'm sure he did. Like, If you're innocent, who cares if we ask you all these questions?
Right.
Because you're innocent.
Right.
And if you're guilty, then good. I hope you look guilty. You killed my mother.
Right.
I don't care if you're my aunt or my sister. This is not okay. And so that was how I was looking at it, because it's like...
It's intense.
Yeah.
It's intense because here's this guy that's just going through his family.
Mm-hmm.
It's all of his family. And he's like, it's got to be one of you guys.
Well, yeah. And good for him to do it. And it's like, if you're innocent, wouldn't you support that? Because you want to know.
Yeah.
Who the hell did this?
Right. Well, so the backstory of Conway and Allie is Conway has had a lifetime of addiction issues. Mm. Clearly, there's a lot of alcoholism in this family. Sandy Beach, remember the grandfather, the dad, Sandy Beach? He was an alcoholic, and then he got sober, and now he's, you know, very vocal about being in the program, which is great. And Conway had very serious... addiction issues.
I don't know if she's out of the woods yet.
Well, we're not sure where she is in her.
I think she's still in the woods.
We, you know, life is a journey.
Mm-hmm.
It's a journey. But she has a son. What is her son's name?
I liked him a lot.
Yeah. He was really having a difficult time with his mom, Conway. And Barbara took him in. Tyler.
Yeah.
So Barbara took him in.
Mm-hmm.
Did she have to go to the court to do it?
I don't know.
We can't. No way to know.
I don't know.
There's no way to know. But Conway hated that and was very angry at her sister for taking care of her son. In a time where she needed somebody to take care of her son.
Mm-hmm.
That's why she wanted to kill her sister.
Mm? Not great.
Not great. And then at some point, Conway needed help and had nowhere to go. And Barbara said, you can move in with me and Allie, my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And Allie and Conway weren't great roommates.
No.
Yeah. So that's their backstory.
Yeah. That's one way to put it, is they weren't great roommates. Sounds like one of them left laundry in the washing machine and wouldn't put it in the driveway.
Company.
Yeah. Turn your music down.
Hey.
Ugh.
Ugh. Gosh, you make me so mad.
Who ate all my bologna?
So, and even when Conway's talking, she admits, she's like, in that time in my life, I wasn't a good mom. I was a prostitute. I was doing drugs, and I felt like I'm going to die.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, I'm going to die.
Here is the important question. How on earth, and I mean this, how on earth did that grandmother produce this family?
I know. When you see the grandmother, she's so like put together and thoughtful,
level-headed and loving.
Oh, my God. And you're like, wow.
And then I think, you know how a lot of people in their older age, you can kind of forget or move past or ignore that maybe they weren't that personality when they were younger?
Yeah.
That's what I wondered about the grandmother. Like, was she different when she was younger? And what was, you know? I mean, because as a person today, I would say... Oh my gosh, she's the greatest.
Right.
And she probably is. And I'm not saying that a
right.
grandmother
don't know.
Or a parent is necessarily the root of one or everyone's problems. But
right.
it's just astounding
that
she's
astounding.
Even related, even distantly related. She doesn't even seem like she lives in the same neighborhood. Let's give our listeners a break and we'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
All right, I hope everyone had enough of a break from us.
God.
But you know what I'm saying.
No, I know. Every time she's on the screen, I'm like, whoa, I'm so happy to see her. God, a voice of reason. Yes. Everything's going to be okay because she's here. And then,
And then you go, wait a minute. Nothing
is
okay.
Your whole life with Sandy Beach?
Yeah. It's like, what? I mean, she's so, I would say perfect.
Seems perfect.
Seems perfect.
She seems perfect.
And they talk about seeming perfect.
Yeah.
Watching their home videos.
Oh, I know.
Somebody could think this family is perfect.
Right. Adorable.
Oh, my gosh. There's so many physically attractive people.
Singing and dancing, well-dressed. Yeah. They're having a ball.
Nice house. And
yes.
It's kind of that scary feeling of like, whoa. And of course, we all know this, but it really hits at home where you don't know what your life or family is going to be.
Mm-mm. No.
You don't know.
And by the way, you don't know what's going on in somebody else's house.
Yeah.
Inside that house. It's like,
you don't know what's going on in somebody else's life, you mean, inside that house.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's so many moving parts.
Yeah. And you look at them and you're like, wow, that family has got it together.
Yeah, they are fun.
They are well dressed and fun.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you dig deeper and it's like, what?
Yeah.
Is happening. So now we think, oh, maybe the sister was involved.
Well, you don't. You think no chance.
I don't think no chance.
You think no chance.
Why would the daughter brutally attack her mother at 9 o'clock in the morning? I mean, it doesn't matter what time of day it is. It just seems like,
and again,
a lot of bad things happen at night.
Murder is brutal.
Yes, no matter what time of day. But it just seems like a weird time.
You think it was Conway?
I didn't say that.
Do you think it was Conway?
I think Conway. Ooh. Conway has got some, she's got some demons, I'm saying.
You think it was Conway?
I'm just saying she's got demons.
You think it was Conway?
She's already, you know, she's not, I feel like she's not above.
You feel like it was not her. The dad?
Well, let's talk about the dad for a second.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So the dad, what's his name again? Jeffrey? Yeah, Jeffrey. So now Madison is reaching out to Jeffrey because Jeffrey is finding, with Conway's help, Conway has all these boxes of her sister Barbara's things. And now they're looking through them and they see all this paperwork. And they are looking at bank records that have to do with $200 million, $2 billion, $600 million that all have something to do with his father, which is weird.
Yeah, that he has so much money.
So much money.
And remember, he was not paying child support or alimony. And also, he claimed, when he was on a call with Madison earlier in the documentary, that his father raised him to take care of people and that family came first, to take care of your family.
Right.
That doesn't add up with...
Add up. It doesn't add up.
Not taking care
of. No. And so Madison finds a letter that Barbara wrote to her divorce attorney, and it said that Jeffrey was money laundering as much as $200 million. And there's also a note that she has evidence to share with Interpol in the event she dies. And then this investigator said, that's just smoke and mirrors. Those aren't real accounts.
Mm-hmm.
But weird. And then there's speculation that he has offshore accounts. So then Madison records all of his phone calls with his dad.
Mm-hmm.
His dad doesn't know he's recording them.
How do you do that legally? I thought people...
I don't know.
Maybe it's in different states. Yeah.
Yeah. Some states, both parties have to agree.
Okay.
And some states, only one has to be say okay, mm-hmm. which we figure out which one that is. The one doing the calling.
Are you okay pressing record?
Yeah, I feel good about it. I feel good about it.
I feel real good.
And so, but Jeffrey won't talk. Madison's dad won't talk about this. Mm-hmm. Won't talk about the money. Gets very upset when he talks to him about it. He doesn't want to talk about Barbara. He really doesn't want to talk about any of it.
Mm-hmm. And why do you suppose that is? I mean, if my ex-wife was murdered and my children were distraught.
Yeah. Yes.
And I mean, I would be distraught if my ex-wife was murdered.
Yes.
I just feel like...
there's something bad.
Wow, look at you, detective.
I think I would be such a bad detective because when they like opened one of those storage units and it was just wall-to-wall boxes of stuff, I was like, oh, God. I would be like, I'm not going through this crap.
See, Stephanie, I always make fun of her because I always tell her that she has a keen eye for the obvious because she is just like... I mean, if it's sitting right there, she sees it and she points it out. I mean, she's actually very insightful too, but she has some really...
She's not going to dig. She's not going to dig through cartons of papers to find something.
I know. It probably depends on the topic, you know?
If she was motivated.
Yeah.
So Jeffrey is now just saying, look, your mother was drunk.
Mm-hmm.
She was drunk when she said this stuff.
That was a load. I don't care how drunk you are.
I know.
The legal issues and papers and money and documents and that's not a drunk, that's not the work of a drunk person. But she's going to create all of those documents and forge his signature and just be like, well, I'm home having cocktails, and as you can imagine, I'm forging all these fake overseas documents and bank accounts.
$2 billion on this one. Let's go with $600 million on that.
$2 billion. Sign Jeffrey. You know,
most drunk people, like, the best they could do is like call somebody.
They call someone,
but they
should
be calling and be like, "Hey, can I talk to you for a second? Hey, girl, can I talk to you about something about your offshore accounts?"
Or they're watching trash TV, just guzzling wine.
They don't have...
They're not that... No.
...on it to be able to type up.
And from what we got to know about Babs, I don't think she was spending her time...
making up. She was a busy. She had a lot of people to care about.
Fake legal documents, contracts, bank accounts. The wine did it.
Yeah, he was like, she was a drunk. So he's not any. He's no help. Jeffrey.
No.
And then what's weird about this whole, I'll tell you, is the Madison Palouse.
Madison Palouse. Madison Palouse, hold please. Is it an emergency? Hold please.
Yes, we have a buffet. The Madison Palouse that I don't understand what they're doing all these years. They're not really working on the case, but every time Madison comes in, they're like, what have you got?
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear what you got.
Yeah.
So it's strange to me. Mm-hmm. They don't, you know, work together and they're not forthcoming. At one point during these two episodes, Madison goes to see his sister, Allie.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks to Allie, and she could not be more lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Oh. No.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, I did. I feel like, I don't know.
She could be a murderer?
I don't know.
She has done so much work on herself. Have you noticed... the way she talks, and she's very, I feel like you weren't even paying attention to this documentary.
No, I feel like I'm...
You think she did it?
No.
You think Allie and the dad did it? Do you really think that, or are you just saying
you
that to try to bother me?
Conway could... could
Conway
rally...
Conway could do anything. Have you seen her? She can do anything. She even admits to it. She's like, yeah, I've wanted to kill Allie. I've wanted to kill my sister. It's like, whoa.
Well, I'm not saying that it's impossible for Conway. I'm not saying it's impossible for Allie. I'm not saying it's impossible for Jeffrey.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's impossible for that masked man in a ski hat walking around the
yard. Well, that's also part of the story. There was a...
But don't you think that's the hitman?
That does seem like the hitman.
He came the day before.
A day early. He came a day before in broad daylight with a ski mask on.
He clearly does it in the daytime. He did it at 9 a.m.
Yeah. I mean, because I guess that's... He knows that she's alone at that point.
Yeah.
In the day. So he came, but she was with... What's her name? One of the ladies.
Yeah. I can't remember.
But one of the ladies was like, yeah, it was strange. I said, hey, there's a guy in a ski mask. And we thought, yeah, that's strange.
How do you go to bed that night?
I don't know. Just like...
I mean, if I saw a guy on my property with a ski mask...
Ski mask on.
I would leave and never come home again.
Wow, that's serious. But maybe that makes sense because, I mean, look what happened.
Yeah.
So the next day...
There's a reason. There's a man in a ski mask on your property
in
the middle of the day.
It's not a good sign. It is not a good sign.
It's not the weather.
The weather?
Well, it's not like a ski mask. Your face is cold.
Oh, it's not. He's so cold. It's 40 below. Yeah. So you got to cover your nose and all of your face.
Right.
Yeah, that did not come up.
Mm-mm.
So at some point, Madison finds out that Allie was indeed at her school when this murder took place.
Texting.
So it was not Allie.
Why was Allie texting her aunt?
To come pick her up?
They're not close.
Well, she tried her mom a lot, and her mom wasn't answering.
Okay.
And I guess it's like, well... Why not try my aunt?
Who hates me?
They had a...
Who is going to accuse me of murdering my mother. Who is immediately going to accuse me of murdering my mother.
It's a lot. It is a lot.
But truly, why would you call Conway?
She wanted to go home from school.
Start walking.
Wow.
How far away is this school?
I don't know. 2 miles? I'm just making that up. I don't know. Long story short, Tig, at some point, Madison files a Freedom of Information Act motion, a FOIA, No, do they say it like that? Anyway, it doesn't matter. And the Madison police came in hot because they were like, no, we're not going to tell you anything. And then Madison said, oh, well, I've got some tapes on you guys. And they said, what? He said, yeah, I was taping our whole conversation. And then...
So I guess it's legal there to do one-sided taping.
It's not. I don't know if it is.
Oh.
But they said, that's not admissible. But the police officer knew what he had said was on that tape. So whether it was legal or not, he knew it existed. So he couldn't deny it. So at some point, at the end of the movie, Madison is able to listen to the 911 call.
That was really hard to watch.
I know.
I mean.
So he's listening to the call.
That's
the
so
moment
sad.
I know. And then, so the way it's left, and this kind of bugged me. Did it bug you? That it's like at the end of the movie?
The party?
That part. We were definitely spilling beans here. If for some reason you haven't watched this and you want to watch it, this is the time to shut it down.
We spilled beans by saying there was a party? That's what we're all leading up to?
No, I'm about to tell people how it ends.
Okay.
At the end of the movie, we don't know who it is.
Right.
But Madison was granted access to 1,600 documents related to the case. So he's reviewing all the files.
There's going to be a follow-up documentary.
Yeah.
It feels like any time there's a documentary like this, the killer is caught not too long after.
Oh.
Well, yeah, it's like, you know, when Patton's wife had started that, you know, case or book or whatever, the blog on that killer in Northern California, and then the guy in Galveston, whatever his name was, that weirdo, he just got in trouble. What was it?
Oh, right.
Richard Durst.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he just got in trouble.
Durst.
So.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but that was like Robert Durst. That was like, what is that, like 30 years later or something?
Right, but I'm just saying it feels like when these documentaries.
The documentary came out. Yeah,
or like there's a lot of heat around a story again.
Yeah,
so heat. I feel like we're probably going to be hearing who done it on this one.
Yes, I hope so.
Yeah, I do too. And, you know, we'll find out. Was it Conway?
Allie and the dad? Oh.
Don't you.
Well, we just really flipped. We really just flipped. I mean, all in all, it was a very interesting story.
Who do you think did it? Really?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Who do you think did it?
The dad hiring a hitman.
Why would he? Oh, because she has all those. Because
he's going to take her to court for all that money. The day of the court, the hearing. Wasn't his phone off all day?
Well, that's what the police said, that they knew about the killer, that the killer's phone had been turned off for 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't remember if they said, because the dad was in court when it happened. But
I mean,
it does seem like he's so shady.
Yeah.
Woof. Anyway, but also what a terrible, that's a hard story for Madison to tell, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard enough that your mother was murdered and then to think that it was somebody really close to you.
It's terrible. What do you think the likelihood of somebody from the pyramid scheme killing her?
It seems unlikely.
Yeah.
One of the ladies at the dinner party. Oh, by the way, let's not forget that one of the ladies at the, what was it called? The gifting table. She said that Conway had left dead animals on her porch.
Well, that's our Conway.
Conway.
Now, what I noticed at the end of this movie when they had the big family party.
Yeah.
You know who was not at the party?
Conway.
Ooh,
I didn't even notice that.
I didn't see Conway.
Interesting. It had a little feel of, what was the movie that, Gone Girl. Did it have a little Gone Girl?
Gone Girl.
Oh, Tig. Okay, Tig, are you ready for our final thoughts? It's time for Happily Ever After Thoughts, where we give our final thoughts on this week's documentary. Did you cry?
Yes.
You did. Mm-hmm. When did you cry?
I cried a few times. I cried when, yes, I'm human. How are you shocked that I cried at this movie about a family that doesn't know who in their family murdered their loved one? You psychopath. God. I cried so many. I cried when Madison listened to the 911 call. I cried when Conway's son talked about how great Barbara was. And took care of him.
Sweet. I know, it was very sweet.
Yeah, and then I cried when Madison made his speech at the end about how he's okay now.
Wow, this was an emotional journey for you.
I felt for the guy. I felt for the family.
Yeah,
they're struggling.
Same.
They're struggling.
Totally felt for the.
And the grandmother. I think I cried when the grandmother started crying.
The grandmother.
Granny Perfection.
We love the grandmother. I don't know her name. Mm-mm. Maybe it's in my notes.
I think she was named Granny as soon as she was born.
No, she was She was, Barbara. Oh,
right. There were four Barbaras.
her name is Barbara.
Right. How could Allie's name is Barbara, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Barbara, Babs, Barbie.
Barbie and Allie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I did not cry.
Well, you made that clear when you laughed at me for crying. You've only cried at Hands on a Hard Body.
I know I've cried at other ones.
No.
I had to have cried at other
like
ones.
Like Metallica in Therapy?
Yep.
Maybe you cried then.
They were struggling.
you like when people compete at a sport or something and like do it against all odds.
I told you I cry when I watch Dancing with the Stars. I don't know what it is that makes me
cry.
You're
a psychopath. That's it. Plain and simple.
Because they're trying so hard.
You think this family isn't trying so hard?
They are trying. Of course they are. Of course they are. Tig, who are you attracted to?
I think everyone's
attracted. We all are attracted.
Yeah.
Let's say it on three.
One, two, three. Conway.
You were really attracted to Conway.
Madison
is very cute. Yeah. He's kind of a cross between Zac Efron and Robin Thicke.
I don't know what Robin Thicke looks like.
He's got really great hair.
Okay.
He's attractive, very attractive.
Yeah, no, Madison's very attractive, and he really like became like a model by the end of the documentary.
I know. He kept getting better looking.
I know. He was like
weird.
Yeah. That he was like some disgusting looking person in the beginning. It was like, right. Oh, there's a cute young guy. And then as the years went by.
Yeah.
And I think when it was really jarring was when they would jump back and forth in time where you would see him when he's like 20 and then you see him now.
Partying.
And you see him like totally fit and pulled together, handsome face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Calm down.
You calm down. he's pretty, that's pretty fantastic. Okay.
That's pretty fantastic.
By the way, next week we'll be watching Free Solo, which you can watch on Disney Plus. And you can also buy True Story merch at podswag.com/truestory. Before we go, do you want to read some true fan mail?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I love getting reviews and emails.
We love it. This is from Jennifer S.
Hey, Jennifer S.
Hey. When I was 18, my parents took us to Disney World. One night, I went to an 18-plus club with the very gross name Pleasure Island. I like that. She thinks that's a gross name. Pleasure Island. I've been to Pleasure Island several times.
Is that so to speak?
Yes, so to speak, and to actual Pleasure Island. People over 21 were given a special wristband for drinking, and of course I didn't have one.
How does this have anything to do with us?
Get ready. Oh. I met a group of professional Irish soccer players that invited me to hang out with them. I took at most 2 sips from one of their beers and was immediately confronted by security. I was promptly escorted out of the club, lectured, placed in a Disney security vehicle, and driven back to the resort my family was staying in. I do remember thinking I was quite the rebel when I asked if I was going to Mickey Mouse jail. It was the highlight of my visit to Disney. Wow. I like that she's giving them sassy attitude.
It kind of makes me want to break a Disney lawn. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
And like they drive you around in the golf cart really angry.
Woo! braggadocious Lord. We should go to Disneyland together and do something Disney illegal.
Ooh.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yes, I would like. I think
we would be laughing so hard if we were arrested by the Disney police.
I mean, I'm sure it's no joke.
I feel
what
like
if that's
it is.
When I burst into tears.
Sure.
What if you're laughing and I'm like, this is actually what makes me cry.
This is the scariest moment of my life.
By the way, Jennifer S., I forgot to read the last sentence said, still to this day, I have zero regrets.
Oh.
She's not looking back. Megan C. writes.
Hey, Megan C.
Hey, Megan C. Hey.
Let's tell everyone. We decided we were going to start giving everyone that writes in a hey, whatever your name is, hey.
Hey.
And we're terrible at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Regarding Tig's pyramid Ponzi scheme, Quest for sure sounds like a cult. And sadly, Peas in a Pod gives off a real mom club vibe. So I guess I'm voting for Cornucopia. I love the idea itself, and I wanted to share that I have tried to create a soup group on my street that sounds super,
She's going to Disney jail.
Similar to Tig's gardening idea. I based it off the idea in this book called Soup Night by Maggie Stuckey.
Maggie Stuckey. Hey.
Basically, you make a bunch of soup and invite the whole street over and eat in the backyard if there's a pandemic occurring, and talk. My 17-year-old daughter thinks I'm, quote, a lot. But I feel like we are in desperate times, and I need to be aggressively friendly and relentlessly positive. So be it. Ooh, I love that. Relentlessly positive. God, I really love that.
That's how people describe me.
By the way, I like the soup group a lot.
Yeah.
And I wanted to tell you, Tig, that my mom has her own thing. Cracklin' Rosie has. We haven't seen it in action yet, but there's a lot of talk about it. She's organizing something called the Gourmet Croquet. So she wants to play croquet with people and have them bring over some food. The Gourmet Croquet. So that might catch on too.
Well, I'm anxious to get home and start Cornucopia.
Cornucopia, the soup group and Gourmet Croquet.
I like the soup group.
I like the soup group.
Yeah.
I mean, are people satisfied with soup?
I love soup.
I mean, I love soup. But if you said, let's all have a bunch of soup, would people be like, fine, but where's the dinner? Or don't worry about it.
I don't care. Did I tell you my next door neighbors, we've had this long-standing thing. This was even before the pandemic.
Yeah.
Where we make banana bread.
Cute.
And we make an extra loaf for them and put it on their doorstep. Aww. And they make lentil soup, and they make an extra jar for us and put it on our doorstep.
That's so nice.
And we've done that for years now.
Well, one time I had
Competing.
Yeah, a lot of leftover crab legs.
And you ate them.
No, because, you know, do you ever watch, clearly you don't. what's the TV show about the guys that go out to sea on their boats? Captain Keith.
Captain Keith. I've never even heard of it. I was going to say Gilligan's Island.
Know. No, this is like a down and dirty fishing, but there's like fishing boats that go out there.
Yeah,
and it's
Gilligan's
real.
Island. Down and dirty.
Anyway, Captain Keith sent over a lot of fantastic crab legs as a gift. And they were so great, but you could only eat so many crab legs in one night. So I sent them over to my neighbor's house.
So this is a story of the one time you shared?
Yeah. But
you gave someone your leftovers?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That person was also a celebrity, but I'm not going to say
who. You already dropped Captain Keith's name, and I don't know who that is. Who's the other one?
I can't tell you.
Give me the initials. Give me the initials.
I don't live next to this person anymore, so it doesn't. I'm not going to say.
It was.
I'm not gonna say. Anyway, you guys, we love reading your messages.
Too, okay,
comments,
we're all friends
with keep letting us know what you think about the docs and leave us a review. We just might read your responses on the show.
About the crab legs.
Shut it! It's not. I never said it was her.
I know it's her.
Tig, you don't know everything about my life.
Okay, well I'll shoot a text and find out real fast about it.
Please don't. Please don't.
Why would you care if it's not? Who cares if I text her? See, you're caught.
Who's the detective?
Me.
Do you have anything? We don't have time to plug stuff.
Yeah, we do.
Do we?
Yes.
Well, thank you for asking. Curb Your Enthusiasm comes out in October. Season 11.
Oh.
I just want you to know that.
Well, Star Trek Season 4 comes out, yeah. I think in November. Maybe it's October.
No way to know.
There's no way to know.
There's no way we can know this. That's great.
National tour.
Oh.
Massive.
Yeah.
Major city, major market tour is going to be announced any day now.
Any day. That's going to drop.
And you had better get your tickets because...
Oh, I thought you were inviting me.
Well, you too. And also, every venue where I go... Yeah. Be vaccinated and wear a mask and laugh.
And laugh. Okay. Mm-hmm. The three things.
Vaccinated, Stoodle. Mask up.
And laugh your ass off.
Yes. Don't laugh your mask off.
Do not laugh your mask off.
Yeah.
All right, Tig.
I also have my animated special drawn on HBO.
True. That's true.
Yeah. And I have another podcast called Don't Ask Tig.
Okay, great. Thank you for showing up.
What? Are you talking to me?
Yes, I'm trying to end the podcast, but you usually end it with
wait, what do you mean, thank you for showing up?
I'm trying to get you to end it. I'm trying to get you.
You seemed like you were being kidnapped and you were trying to like...
give you a signal?
Yeah, give me... Thank you for showing up. What?
My sister and I have a code.
Oh.
Although I don't know if I remember the word.
What do you
it's
think
bad
it
if you
is?
If you have a safe word.
Yeah.
But then you don't remember what it is.
Yeah.
I think I know what it is.
What?
I can't tell you because then if I get kidnapped, then the kidnapper's going to be like, oh, I knew.
And see what your safe word is. Well, Cheryl.
Yeah.
Should we do it again?
Yes, let's do it again. Tig and Cheryl, True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Gabby Kopasich and Thomas Willett, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Willett, with music by David Sussin. Special thanks to Patrick McDonald and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You can email us at tigandcherylTrueStory@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.